Petro, somebody show now.
AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money. Yeah.
I believe in the power of the spoken word. Everything I have ever heard makes sense to me.
Gong it out, big!
Oh, come on now.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. It is a We Just Won't Be Defeated Wednesday, but alas, we've been defeated.
By the South Bay. The South Bay has risen up like a wave at Haggerty's and blown us over with huge news. Mike Bone.
Bone.
Bone, 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 bone,
oh,
bone,
no.
Bone,
bone. Oh, no, Mike Bone.
I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. Mike Bone, USC athletic director, has made the ultimate moaner and done the opposite of what he was hired to do in so many people's perception, which is he kept Clay Helton on as the USC head coach.
Unsuccessful football coach.
Put out a slightly better written statement than last year's Lynn Swann statement. Slightly better.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Very comparable.
Because you can choose your own adventure. We got three statements.
Very comparable.
We got a Lynn Swann statement.
Guys,
we got a Mike Bone statement. We got a Clay Helton statement. We got a lot of statements.
It's exactly the same BS that Pat Hayden said when they kept Lane Kiffin. Same BS that Pat Hayden said when they hired Sark. Same BS that Pat Hayden said when he hired Helton.
How about this?
Same BS that Lynn Swann said last year when he kept Helton.
Okay.
And now, automatically, all you have to do is become some kind of administrator at USC, and you transform into a bureaucrat, like the end of Animal Farm. You become a man-pig hybrid, and Mike Bone has transformed into his predecessors, who were not professional ADs. But even a professional AD is no match for the USC swamp, Matt. We have all statements.
Would you like? Let's do it this way. I'm going to read you a line, and you guess.
I get to choose.
Is it Swanee?
Lynn Swann about keeping Clay Helton?
Mike Bone?
Mike Bone about keeping Clay Helton?
Or is it Clay Helton about them keeping Clay Helton? Because Clay Helton has already dropped his own statement today.
Do you have anything from Pat Hayden's press conference when he kept Clay Helton?
I do not.
Okay, that's okay.
Because all I got are written statements.
That's okay.
Vic, you can weigh in on this too if you want. You want to play the game? Let's play a game.
Let's play.
I know it's not between noon and 3.
I know.
It's not normally game time.
Well, you know what?
But let's play a game.
I have an idea. Let's round up 12 random people. And after we play the game off the air, we'll give somebody our Home for the Holidays package.
Here we go. Here's your first one.
You like that, Vic?
Bone, Helton, or Swann?
Okay, B, H, or S, and we are going to play Helton, No Helton with you listeners here, maybe even before the hour is over, because the one thing I have gauged is that people are pissed, and I think they have a right to be pissed. But, you know, USC is sending a very clear message that they want to pay their coach $3 million
a year. You can't defeat the Swamp. That's their message. You cannot. You are no match for the Swamp.
You can hire whoever you want.
It will swallow you whole.
At president. But all those trustees are there, and you can hire whoever you want in the athletic department. But all those guys that told Pat Hayden what to do, and all those guys that told Lynn Swann what to do, and Mike Garrett what to do, they're all still there. So, sorry if you thought things were going to change and USC was going to compete nationally on the football field. Well, let's play.
Swann, Helton, Bone.
Let's play.
I'm a strong advocate of consistency within a program, sticking by a leader, supporting them, and helping them and their team improve. That is
Swann. Yeah!
One for one.
Sorry,
one.
Vic.
I was going to join you in the Lynn Swann there.
Sorry, Vic.
It's okay.
We forgot you were there for a second.
We are. We're in agreement on Swann. That's Swanee.
All right.
His commitment to our student athletes and to leading with integrity is vital to restoring our championship program.
The key word is always integrity with bone.
It's the thuggish, ruggish bone.
Well, they want integrity. They got integrity.
Okay.
Really?
I don't know.
What is there integrity in not developing players?
Is there integrity in being, you know, number 75, you know, ranking in the recruiting? Is there integrity there?
Here we go. You ready? I believe in our team and in our fan base. I know we will all come together to succeed. I am excited about the future of our team and our university.
Coach Helton.
Gotta be the Helt.
Okay.
That's Clay right there.
That's right.
That's the essence of Helton.
Every day I thank God for myself.
Okay.
My wife, Miss Angela.
Here we go.
Mike Bone.
I thank God for three things right now. My wife, my kids, and Mike Bone.
Here we go. Coach Helton and I will meet extensively each week to evaluate our program from top to bottom.
Bone.
Gotta go with the bone.
Oh, I feel better about SC now.
Hold on.
There's more.
Oh!
Swanee!
Oh!
Yeah. Curveball!
Gosh, you know, those weekly meetings were kicking ass, too, until Swan had to resign.
But
curveball.
If we may, Coach Helton and I will work together to take a hard look at all aspects of the football enterprise, and we'll make the tough decisions necessary to compete at a championship level.
I think the word enterprise gave it away.
It did, but it's the exact same statement with the word enterprise swapped
in
for program.
I feel better if I'm an SC fan because it's Swan meeting with Coach once a week is one thing, but the Bonarino looking real hard, just like he looked at, like the same way you looked at your football program and decided to keep Clay Helton, old Bonarino. Is that how hard you're going to look, Bonarino? The Bonarino buried his bone in the wrong yard, Matt, and I believe you talked extensively and poetically on the Twitter machine about the soil.
What soil? Loamy, rich, dark soil, and how easy it is to insert your shovel. Clay, once you put your shovel in, you're like, son of a bitch. Wish I had some of that sweet soil, not this clay crap. We will improve and get better in all areas. We agree that changes need to be made, and they will.
Swanee.
Helton.
Whoops. That's Swanee, Vic.
That's Swanee.
Wear it, Vic.
Wow.
That is Swanee.
Changes were made, Swan. You got fired, but old Cockroach Helton is still posted out after nuclear war.
This one's going to be tough.
I bury those cockroaches.
This one's going to be tough because it's not something you ever hear this person say. Our future is bright. We have a young team on the verge of doing something special.
Helton.
Gotta be Helton.
Helton loves young team. Loves young team. And you're going to hear young team after they get their puto knocked inside out against Alabama on September 5th.
After you lose to BYU, get humiliated at home against Oregon, do you want to make this statement to an angry as hell fan base?
We're really close against Notre Dame, though, Matt. And, you know, that Washington game, man, you know, could have gone either way there.
We have seen what this team can do. Having the season we have had.
Lead the country in penalties? That's what they can do. What?
Despite going through adversity and injuries, we are headed to a great bowl. And we plan to finish the season strong.
Helton.
And we are putting the final touches on an outstanding recruiting class.
It's the Claymeister.
Clearly he doesn't have an editor. Hey, don't talk about this past season. Don't talk about the season in which you were humiliated by Oregon at home.
It's
lost to BYU.
But this is their new standard. Like, if you're a USC football fan, and whether you believe all the rumors that are out there, and I have a tendency to, and now we're talking seriously for a moment.
Permission to get serious?
permission to be for real. The Bonarino didn't want this. I don't want this! He was like Wyatt Earp when Ike Clanton grabbed his gun at the OK Corral. I don't want this! But now Doc Holliday's got it. I don't want this!
And the whole thing's going to
S. He didn't want it. But he obviously couldn't hire who he wanted to hire. Because, look, if they were going to keep Clay Helton, and if Clay Helton was such a man of integrity, and they're putting the finishing touches on a great recruiting class and an outstanding bowl and all this stuff, then why couldn't you make this statement on Sunday? Why didn't this statement come out on Sunday? Did it take 4 days?
No, you were trying to sign Urban Meyer.
Or Bob Stoops, or Matt Campbell, or Matt Rhule, but I don't even think they got that far. I think it was Urban Meyer. I think that's who the Bonarino wanted. I think that's why he was hired. And then suddenly this word integrity started getting thrown around and probably pissed off Urban Meyer, probably upped his price. But whatever it is, if you think USC can take the hit, if you think the West Coast can take the hit of keeping Clay Helton, then you are a more optimistic person than I am. And the one thing this proves to me is you can get a new guy to be the face of it and a new woman to be the face of the whole thing. And it's the same old bureaucracy, it's the same old swamp, and the same people are still in control because the people that have convinced whoever to keep Clay Helton are the same people that told Pat Hayden to do it. They're the same people that get to run their special little country club because they have a head coach that they can control. Guess what Urban Meyer does if you hire him?
Takes control.
Yeah. What does Bob Stoops do?
They run the program. Right. They restore it to greatness. They compete with Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State damn near immediately. Your recruiting class goes from being sandwiched between Troy and Louisiana, not state, the Raging Cajuns, and vaults itself into the top 15. And your only top 100 recruits are no longer wide receivers. By the way, you make the statement today, and as Scott Wolf told us on Monday, about Graham Harrell's future, and I know you don't like the air raid, and a lot of people don't like the air raid, but they're trying to hang their hat on the offense and say, hey, Slovis developed.
What else
you
got?
The offense is great.
What else you got?
That guy's going to leave. He's now going to leave and go to Texas to work for Tom Herman because he knows that is considerably more stable, and they have the deepest pockets of any team in all of college football, at least, and also, really, mostly because Scott Wolf told us, he's the heck, and he's going to go back to Austin. So now everything that you supposedly have hung your hat on, and I can promise you in the next, and you know this obviously better than I do, Clancy's going to be thrown to the Wolves.
Yeah.
And probably special teams as well.
John Baxter.
Baxter's going to be thrown out, and they're going to say, see, we got it right with Harrell, and now we're going to get it right with the DC and the special teams coach. Everybody stay calm. Everything's in place. We got our quarterback. Nothing to be worried about.
And that's what brings me to these talking points. All that stuff is happening over again. The thing about the interesting statements that you read, Matt, all three of them, that we all guessed about, they're all written by the same guy.
That's the reason. That's why they sound the same.
Yeah, that's the reason they all read.
And that guy's been there for 60 years.
Right. And that guy shouldn't have the amount of power that he has. The other guy, whose kid is on the staff, should not have as much power as he has. And that is the case at USC. And they can do every PR blitz they want to in the offseason and sell their offense with or without Graham Harrell and use whatever coach speak they have to get through the awkwardness of telling JT Daniels he's got to transfer if he doesn't want to be in a quarterback competition. All that stuff. But here are the things you can count on in the next few months of USC football. Fan and alumni apathy. This ain't Tennessee where you try to hire Schiano and they rise up like the villagers in Austria with pitchforks and torches to kill Dr. Frankenstein, right? What do they do? People just going to go to the beach. People are just going to go to Mammoth, right? People are going to do something else.
Instead of putting 75,000 in the Coliseum, they're putting 55,000.
Exactly.
And that's going to drop to 52,000.
We did better when I was playing. When Paul Hackett was about to be fired.
Then they did this last year.
Oh, yeah. We did way better. We put 60 in there and be like, damn, where is everybody? There'd be 70,000 in there. Where is everybody? It's worse than it ever has been. So you can count on fan apathy. A pestilence of apathy.
Yeah, but that place needs to be redone. They need to upgrade it. Like yesterday. So it's understandable why there weren't as many people there this year.
It was a brand new bikini-clad Botoxed.
And that's uncomfortable.
MILF.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure the people that paid, what was it, $1 million for the suites? The whatever it was, 12 or 13
suites? They got
suites.
To see Oregon put a 50 burger right on SC.
I'm sure that was, I'm sure they're fine with all of this. The Clay coming back is exactly what they had hoped for.
So the one thing you can count on is real apathy. There's not one fan that I know that's happy. Not one. And I'm no fan. And I don't even care if Clay Helton's a coach. It's the people that tell the athletic director and Clay Helton what to do that drive me crazy. The ones that have survived, they've caused all this, all of these problems. They've been an integral part of the problems dating back to Carroll in the Reggie Bush era, to Kiffin, to Sark, to the embarrassment of keeping Clay Helton and not Ed Orgeron, and they're still calling the shots at SC. That's what drives me crazy. Not Clay Helton. He's a nice guy. He just makes too many excuses. And speaking of that, that's coming still. You'll have your injuries and youth excuses like he did in today's interview.
It's already in the statement.
Yeah.
As young as we... Here it is. We have a young team on the verge of doing something special. And in the very next sentence, we've seen what this team can do having the season we have had despite going through adversity and injuries. Because nobody else goes through adversity. They didn't have Tua for the Iron Bowl, and people are trying to run Nick Saban out of Alabama. Do you think he's saying, oh, I get a free pass because of injuries? No, he's saying, I can't believe we had 12 men on the field. What the hell?
Matt, you brought up Texas. They're going to lose Harrell to either Texas or the UNLV head coaching job, which he's going to interview
gone.
For. The 2020 recruiting class is taking it in the urethra. Sorry, Vic. I know that's hard to hear.
Thank you.
Those weren't two teams I made up. Right now, Rivals has them sandwiched between Troy and the Raging Cajuns.
Troy State Trojans are an up-and-coming Trojans.
Yeah.
Their bowl game's going to be against Baylor or Michigan.
That's a great bowl game.
And it's going to be a buzzsaw that USC runs into right in the crotch.
That is a great bowl game.
Then Alabama, the 2020 opener. So they'll probably be destroyed in their next two games.
And Clay, and look, if it's James Franklin or Matt Campbell or Matt Rhule who's the head coach and they get destroyed, what do you say? Look, they had a crappy recruiting class. The guy's got to rebuild. I'm giving him a free pass. Clay Helton loses that game like he did 3 years ago or 4 years ago, however long ago it was that, who was it, Sark that lost it?
It was Clay with Max Brown.
With Max Brown and Sam Darnold, that's right. That was the Max Brown, Sam Darnold, whatever. That's not the conversation. The conversation is fire him yesterday. USC's got to compete on a national level, not for the Pac-12 South and the right to get to some championship game that nobody cares about because USC's not relevant.
Bureaucracy wins again, Matt, and the bad guys get to keep their country club.
You can elect a new guy every 4 years and think everything's going to change, but it never does because there's lifers in the district.
They really are.
Not allow a damn thing to change, no matter if it's an elephant or a freaking donkey.
The other thing is, other programs change all the time. And that's why they don't have these problems. Even blue-blooded programs. You know, Ohio State told Urban Meyer, hey, you're going to take a suspension, and then we're going to hire this guy Ryan Day. And you're going to have to find a way to step down. Because we're moving on. Because we're done. And you got to figure it out. I mean, that's a blue-blood program. And they were okay to say goodbye to Urban Meyer. Think of the courage that takes. And USC doesn't have the balls to say goodbye to Clay Helton because of the people in place that it means if Clay Helton's gone, then they lose their control of what they dreamt their whole life to have, which is power in a great football program like USC.
Congratulations.
And that's what these chicken neck bureaucrats have. That's what they have.
Congratulations on keeping a guy who most expected was going to be fired and with openings at Missouri, Ole Miss. Where else we got? Likely Vandy.
Arkansas.
His name was not being mentioned at all. But UNLV.
Yeah, they wanted
it. Hey, we better keep this guy.
When Memphis comes open.
That's what happened last time. Yeah. We heard that Memphis was interested in Clay Hell. There are openings. Miami's going to be open. Florida State is open. Is Clay Helton tied to any of... Okay, if you're USC and your guy is not being tied to any of those programs, guess what? You got the wrong guy.
Pretty good point, man.
You got the wrong... And he's got a twang, and he can go to Arkansas, where nobody wants that freaking job because it's the worst job in the SEC.
How about saving money? It's like, well, it's going to cost us this much money to keep to fire Clay Helton. How much money did it cost you to hire Mike Bone to do something that every douchebag in the athletic department would have done, which is keep Clay Helton? You hired Mike Bone to be a man of integrity and put his foot down.
And to sign Urban Meyer.
And make a decision whether it's Urban Meyer or anything. But the looming drama now, Matt, in the offseason is going to be what's going to happen with Graham Harrell, which you've mentioned, and how they're going to cut JT Daniels loose. As opposed to who is Bob Stoops or Matt Rhule or James Franklin recruiting, and who's he signing, and who's he making up ground on, you know, after getting the job late in the recruiting class. That's
can you
not your
he
looming
got that
drama.
Linebacker? Can you believe he got that defensive back? That guy was, he was 55th. No.
No, James, it's going to be JT Daniels worried about getting his Trojan tattoo removed at Dr. Tadoff.
I heard Troy State.
And how is, oh, he can go there, perfect.
I heard Troy State.
Well, that'll up their class.
Exactly right. They're going to jump USC because they'll get JT to come in.
It's not going to be James Franklin. It's going to be JT Daniels and how to cut him loose and where Graham Harrell from North Texas, where's he going to go? Congratulations, everybody.
And by the way,
this is the business you've chosen.
I would assume Clay is now going to retain, and or I should say regain the reins and take control of the offense once again after it being the only thing that was celebrated on this team and the development of Keaton Slovis. And again, if I'm a USC fan, is that what I want? Hell no. Absolutely not. That's what I'm... Hey,
that's all right, Matt. He's going to work weekly with Bone.
It is bat-ass crazy.
It really is.
Bat-ass crazy.
And we've been doing this a long time. We've been doing this pre-sanctions.
It's the seeds of a beautiful friendship. Bone and Helton. The seeds have been planted.
Vic, he'll be fired by November.
I got two words. Troy.
Oi!
That's good, Vic.
We'll be right back with James Worthy. Troy.
Petros and Money on AM570 LA Sports. We've been doing it all day, all night. If you missed it, Clay Helton returning, according to Athletic Director Mike Bone, to be the head coach of the USC Trojans in 2020. We will continue to discuss that as the show moves forward. A reminder that tomorrow, between 2 and 5:15, you can win that Home for the Holidays pack. Be the correct caller at the exact time we ask you to be the correct caller, and you get 100,000 Southwest Airlines Rapid Rewards bonus points, a Westinghouse 50-inch 4K TV, a whole bunch of cash cards and gas cards and Chef Merito baskets and Amazon speakers. All the details available at am570lasports.com. Again, that is tomorrow. We'll be on a flex alert going to Thursday Night Football between 2 and 5:15 on the Petros and Money Show.
This is the James Worthy Report.
Driven by your Southern California Ford dealers.
Drive it like a Ford. Drive it home today.
You hear the jazz tunes? And you know that it's time for the coolest cat on LA TV. The coolest basketball Hall of Famer. The coolest top 50 NBA player of all time. The slow clap with the Merton Hank style. The cigar smoking. And I tell you what, Matt. We do have the Clippers off tonight.
Played last night, got that big win.
They are 16-6. And the Clippers start that long road trip on Friday. And they start out against my Fosmu. The Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Brew, known as the Bucks.
Let's go, Bango.
But the Lakers are 18-3. And with these cool jazz sounds, it is time to bring on our favorite OG, James Worthy, on the Petros and Money Show. What's cracking, big game, James? How are you?
I'm good, man. You know, getting ready to go do the Utah game tonight. Nice recovery last night up in Denver, so things are good.
Is it real? I mean, did you guys, back in the day when you guys were flying commercial and fighting the good fight and not worrying about load management and getting out on the court however you could, did you guys used to complain about the altitude and use that as an excuse on back-to-backs and such as that?
We knew it was there, so it wasn't any use in complaining about it or thinking negative about it. It was just one extra dimension that you had to overcome. You know, hopefully you get in the day before and get a practice in, but if not, you know, you just have to mind over matter. No excuses.
James, Nikola Jokic has always been doughy, perhaps 15, 20 pounds overweight, very reminiscent of what Kevin Love looked like in the early part of his career in Minnesota before he slimmed down. How hard is that? It would seem like basketball is not a sport where you can be because you're running up and down the floor so much, a fat guy, but Jokic is fatter this year than he's been ever.
Yeah, his agility is not what it needs to be to face modern-day centers. I mean, he would have been okay back in the 70s and 80s when they waited for you to come down in the post and the game wasn't as fast. But when you're looking at, you know, Embiid, you know, centers who are stretching the floor, AD last night gave him all kind of problems on both ends of the court. You have bigs who, you know, even McGee has more agility. So as good as Jokic is, I think he'll figure out in the next year or so, if he hasn't already, that he's got to take an approach that's going to put him in somewhat like David Robinson shape or, you know, something like that that gives him speed, quickness, and more stamina.
James, it is a quarter of the way through the season, so a pretty healthy sample size. Now, granted, with injuries and guys trying to feel one another out and figure each other out, it's hard to figure out what the remainder of the season is going to look like. But kind of based on what you've seen from minutes, LeBron playing 35 to 40 per night, Anthony Davis 35 to 40 per night, and guys that maybe we thought were going to play a little bit more, Kuzma maybe getting in that 25 to 30 range, just not quite happening. Do you think Frank Vogel has figured out his rotations yet?
I think so. I think he has. I think he might be still, experimenting with, you know, some of the second unit guys. But, you know, I can kind of see how he's playing LeBron. You know, and then when AD's out, and then when AD's out, you know, he has LeBron, so he always has one of his superstars in there. So I think the minutes have been shared equally. You know, I think it's, you know, pretty good. Guys aren't complaining about load management. You know, you go in and, you know, you take care of the first three quarters. You know, hopefully you get to sit on the bench in the fourth quarter. That's old school load management right there. Just go out and kick some butt the first three quarters and ice your knees in the fourth quarter.
One of the things that is kind of weird, and I guess trying to figure out, and you can speak to it, you watch every single game, but Quinn Cook, he'll play 25 minutes one night. Last night he was a DNP CD. A coach's decision did not play. I should say that. I didn't mean to do that. But what do you think they're trying to figure out with Quinn and how he fits into all of this? Because, I mean, that guy's gone for like 20 points on a couple nights.
Yeah, I mean, I think they know what Quinn can do. I don't think there's any issue with that. I just don't know. He may be still, you know, experimenting with that second unit. That's what we were talking about a few minutes ago. You know, Troy Daniels can light it up. He's a pure shooter, a career 40% shooter. Maybe he's trying to implement that shooter more often. Cook, more of a point guard. You know, he's more of a point guard. He's not a two guard. And, you know, when you have Rondo and LeBron handling, sometimes, you know, you might run into some playing time. But I think, that's something that I think the coaching staff is experimenting with, depending on who we play, matchup situations. That all goes into the decision-making. But I know Troy is a streaky shooter. If they can get him going where he's hot, you know, on a consistent basis every night, I think that's where they might be leaning from my perspective. You know, Quinn is a point guard, and I think he does well when he's in there.
Our friend James Worthy joining us like he does every single Wednesday on the Petros and Money Show around this time. We really appreciate it and are grateful. Anthony Davis took an IV to play last night. Wasn't feeling well. Got out there and fought through it, which, you know, is not really what you expect from modern-day NBA superstars, with all due respect to a lot of these guys. What have you seen from this guy as far as that kind of stuff? Being a teammate, being a hard worker, being a guy that will fight through fatigue and pain in this early part of the season. Has he impressed you in that way?
Yeah, he has. You know, he impressed me. The first statement that came out of his mouth is that he wanted to be, you know, defensive player of the year, and that is translating and transform into the rest of the team. I mean, LeBron is always known
that defense is key, but I think he's even upped LeBron's defensive intensity. So I love when the guys, you know, set goals and they stick to it. He's a beast defensively. He might not block the shot. He alters, you know, if there was a stat for how many shots were altered, you know he's around. So, you know, I like the fact – I wish I could have got an IV at halftime. That would have been cool. But from what I understand, there's about five or six guys, you know, with the flu symptoms going on with the team. You know how that is when one gets it. So to be able to fight through that, you know, you have to commend him for saying, look, I'm gonna play.
How much of this is on Frank Vogel, specifically what they're doing defensively?
I think it starts with him. He's always been a defensive coach. That's his bread and butter. That's the first thing out of his mouth, because it reminds me of Pat Riley to an extent. You don't win without rebounding and defense, and those two go hand in hand. I think he preaches that. I saw a mistake the other night where someone drove right down the middle of the lane and dunked it. He immediately called a timeout. He's not happy with defensive poor execution. Offensively, you know, you're going to have your moments, but no excuses for defensive, you know, mistakes. Concentrate. And I think once he sees that, you know, there's some problems, that's when you see him most animated.
James, where do you come out on the, and I don't know how far you've dug into it, the midseason tournament that is being kicked around to try to get people maybe a little more interested in regular season NBA basketball and what it might take to get the NBA PA to sign off on that and be willing to take part of it? Because you're hearing things being kicked around like you can get a draft pick at the end of the first round as a franchise. Obviously, players are going to be compensated financially depending on how far they go in the tournament. Is that something you think could fly with these players?
I think so. I think as long as to me, the games have to count. I think if they can find a way, I mean, financial paying guys, I mean, that's something that's the secondary. I mean, the guys will get paid, but I think somehow if they can, during the regular season when they have these games, if they can find a way to make the games count, I think the NBA has been the same so long, and I think some of the new policies and things that they're thinking about are only going to make the league more exciting. Like, for instance, if you could see the Clippers and the Lakers in the finals. Doesn't have to be, you know, East Coast, West Coast. I think that's pretty good. You want to see the best teams in the finals. So I think, you know, this midseason, you know, have some playoffs and make it more interesting. You know, it can only, you know, and especially if they're talking about shortening the season as well. I think it can only, you know, make the season and the NBA more exciting. They've made so many changes globally. And I think this would only add to, you know, the success that they have already.
So you like, there are people that are kicking around the idea that you shorten the season by 10 games and that each round you win, you get one win in the regular season for the first round, you get two wins counted toward your regular season record, you win in the second round, three wins if you win in the semis, and that's what you think you'd be looking for if you were a player to make this thing work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still sinking into it, but I think, you know, if players know that they, you know, especially if you're, you know, I think they're trying to implement a rule for the last four teams, you know, to give them an opportunity to make the playoffs too. I think all this is good. I still have to sink my teeth into it to get a full understanding. But from what I've heard, and you know, I think they're going to experiment with some of these policies in the G League to see how it works out. But I'm all for it if it's, you know, if the players are satisfied.
We're all for James Worthy as long as he's satisfied, and we're not going to ask him to ask Geeter about Clay Helton and the South Bay, and we're not going to ask him about the Tim Cates obsession. Geeter was blowing up my phone. The last time Geeter called me was like 2006.
My man.
Tim Cates wants to know about the fourth of the season awards. One fourth of the way through, big game.
Oh, who's your MVP? Quarter season? Quarter
yeah,
season
I mean,
MVP?
Can't do quarter season.
I mean, we did it.
Right now?
No, right? Right? Hey.
Who you got, James? Come on.
No.
Yes.
Ah, man, that's a tough one, man.
Isn't it, though? Man.
I'm telling you, man, this 20-year-old phenom in Dallas is amazing.
Doncic.
Some of the stuff he's doing. Doncic. But right now, I mean, to me, AD, defensively, for what he's done and what he's doing,
okay.
You know, defensively right now, I'd have to, and of course I'm a little biased, but I have to go with AD, and he's got the records to back it up.
All right, there we go. Defensive player of the year, AD. MVP, maybe Doncic. You want to go rookie of the year? Is it Ja Morant? Okay.
He's got the lead thus far.
Okay.
I have to wait on that one. He's got the lead thus far.
It's good stuff.
Doughiest? Jokic.
Jokic.
Yeah!
He wins doughiest player.
Thank you, James!
All right, brothers.
There he goes.
Thank you, James.
Big game, James Worthy.
It's been the James Worthy Report, brought to you by your Southern California Ford dealers.
Drive it like a Ford. Drive it home today.
We'll be right back with more PMS right here on your UCLA station on AM570 LA Sports.
Future is bright. We have a young team on the verge of doing something special.
Yeah, okay.
We've seen what this team can do.
Heard it before, guys.
All the way up. It's a time.
It's cracking, everybody. Welcome back.
We were getting after it a little bit there in the commercial break. Sorry for being distracted. Just a lot of...
Hey, I don't care.
A lot of Mike Bone talk.
Do whatever
here.
I want around here.
A lot of Mike Bone talk during the commercials. It's going to be a Mike Bone, Clay Helton sort of day today. Normally, we do not recycle content. We get to it. We move on.
Normally.
Next topic.
But, Matt, today's a different kind of day.
People want to hear from you.
Bonarino Day.
They want to hear the Petros Papadakis position on the Bonarino bringing back Clay Helton.
I think we've talked about it.
Inexplicably.
I think I've made it pretty clear as to my feelings. I am pretty shocked that they would bring in somebody new, pay them money to do something that a bunch of people that were already there, who could be your athletic director, would have done anyway, which is try to keep Clay Helton.
Status quo.
Keep power for themselves. Keep the bureaucracy breathing.
The friends of the friends of the program who are assistants, who are still in the football program.
Yes, keep the swamp monster
alive. Keep it going.
Alive.
Keep the check coming.
Let's do Helton, no Helton, Matt, in the next segment. What do you say?
Get some people on the horn.
At the top of the hour. I know we don't take a lot of calls.
We don't, but today's a good day. Take the pulse of the people.
I mean, we might even have an intro for Helton, no Helton. I mean, I don't know if we do, but I think we might.
If I may... You're a gambling man.
Yes, I am.
What do you think the ratio is? Let's just say we take 10 calls of Helton, no Helton. How many of those are going to be Helton?
Well, we have a lot of contrarian a-holes that listen to this show.
Bruin fan. I bet someone's going to be like, I'm a Bruin fan. Helton.
Yeah, I get a lot of that. I've been rooting for you, Dub, my whole life, and it's a great day. Ooh.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I got some bad. Notre Dame guys.
At least they play Notre Dame next year.
Oh, they'll play them.
Every year.
Play them every year.
Alabama, Notre Dame. Sandwiched around New Mexico.
Here's an ex-teammate. You know, and a lot of my ex-teammates tweet in. And
big day for ex-teammates.
And usually, you know, they're a little more positive than normal people. Because, you know, they like the program. They want people to like them in the program. But this teammate says, F Helton.
Oh, very direct. Succinct. And to the point message from that ex-teammate. Well, congratulations, Clay. It'll be a wonderful Christmas in the Helton household, although I guess it would have been regardless because your money was guaranteed and the buyout was, depending on who you ask, somewhere between 15 and 20 million. So it really doesn't matter if you stay employed or not.
Number one trending in California, Fire Bone. Okay. Hashtag Fire Bone. So your call's next. Helton, no Helton. 866-987-2570.
We're going to let the people have their say.
I'm sure somebody will go in there and answer the phone at some point. Maybe even me. 866-987-2570. Helton, no Helton. We don't like to open up the phones on a day like this, but even Matt Smith admits.
Today's the day to do it.
Today's the day.
Today's the day to tap into the people.
We'll be right back.
Embrace the anger.